The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Hello there and welcome along to this week's Racing Postcast. It is Monday the 2nd of May. I am Maddie Plale and this week I'm joined by tipster Graham Rodway and Leon Blanche from Boyle Sports. We're going to look back on the Punchestown Festival and look at back also on a classic weekend. We have the 2000 and the 1000 guineas, so much fallout from that big action at Newmarket, but the jump season hasn't been over just yet, and we've really enjoyed some star performances that are going to give us some real clues as to what's going to happen next season. Several talking points, we're going to go through them chronologically. Let's start off with Sir Gerhard, who was the disappointment, the Ballymore Novices hurdle winner. Graham, what do you make of this? It wasn't a good start for Willie Mullins, was it?
No, it was a disappointing start, wasn't it? By very disappointing by Sir Gerhard. Yeah, he was. He disappointed at that meeting last year, didn't he? He was beaten by Kilcrot in the bumper, and he was well below form. He wasn't as far below form as Dice Art Dynamo, was he? Don't know what's happened to him. He's obviously a bit of a case, isn't he? But I don't think anyone could really have seen Mighty Potter winning that race. Sometimes you get these funny results at Punchestown where maybe Sir Gerhard had a hard race on heavy ground at Cheltenham, and I saw Dynamo obviously coming off the back of a fall. And yeah, it was a funny race. We definitely obviously didn't see the best of Sir Gerhard, and I don't know what to make of the winner, really. He's been exposed in top company all season, but he won that Grade One quite well. It was a strange race, Maddie.
You're not going to be sort of relying on that form going forward then?
No, a definite end of season feel to it, didn't it? That's for sure. Willie Mullins, I think, said afterwards that maybe Sir Gerhard's better going left-handed. But as you know, I'm not a huge fan of excuses, but maybe there is something in that. We'll see, won't we, as time goes on. The one thing that we know is that he's still a top-class prospect and one very much to look forward to next season.
Indeed. And Dysart Dynamo, I think he had a heart fibrillation, which seems to be more common these days, or maybe we're just more aware of it. So hopefully he can recover from that. As I said, bad start for Willie Mullins, but gosh, that didn't last long, did it? But let's move on to another disappointment earlier on. Bob Olinger, Leon, he was expected to, well, I can't say bounce back from a Cheltenham Festival win, but he wouldn't have won that if Galopin des Champs would have stood up the last, and he didn't win this race either. What's gone wrong with him?
Yeah, he has been a bit of a disappointment, Maddie. Maybe trying to get him back after that injury after Cheltenham, maybe it was a little bit rushed, but the distress signals were up very, very early indeed for Bob Olinger. Like, he was one of the best prospects. I mean, I think when everyone watched him effortlessly win the Ballymore, we were all really, really excited about him becoming a novice chaser. He didn't really disappoint too much before Cheltenham, but I mean, he was well and truly hammered by Galopin des Champs at Cheltenham, bar that mishap at the last, and he actually fell over the line to win at the Cheltenham Festival. So maybe it just took a lot out of him. Maybe a nice summer off and we can get him back. But the question marks would have to remain about him after that hugely disappointing performance at Punchestown. I mean, he was well and truly beaten a long way from home. Good win by Capodanno, to be fair. But yeah, you'd worry about Bob Olinger. Hopefully, Henry de Bromhead can get him back, because certainly Rob Corr, the amount of investment they've actually put into the sport, he was one of their superstar, really, if you can rewind the clock back to when he won the Ballymore. But for Brian, who's the main driver at Rob Corr, you'd hope that Bob can come back and get that form and get that kind of class that he showed as a novice hurdler, but big question marks around him.
Yeah, and of course, he'd already beaten Capodanno, so that form, clearly all was not well with Bob Olinger. An interesting train of thought I thought about the Ballymore is that we've had some disappointments in it in recent years. You look at Sam Crow, City Island, Envoy Len, they've all gone downhill since winning it, but I wonder if that race has something to do with it, or is that just a coincidence, Leon?
I'd say it's just a coincidence, Maddie, really. Just touching back to Sir Gerhard, I wouldn't give up on him just yet. I think going right-handed is obviously not to his liking, as Graham alluded to. So Gerhard will be a force to be reckoned with next season. Obviously, when Willie Mullins stepped him back in Trip, I think he was trying to find out, would he be a champion hurdle contender, really? So that's a big question mark. I think he might have that. And we'll talk about Stateman a little bit later on. But no, look, I think that's a bit of a coincidence. I think let's wait and see what happens next season.
He's got such an embarrassment of riches, hasn't he? Stateman, you mentioned Vauban as well, who we'll talk about a little bit later on. But they're all going to have to go some to get to be as classy and as talented as Energumene. And he beat Chacon Boursois on Chacon's home turf, if you like, the race that he'd won last year. And this was, momentarily, it looked like it was going to be a real battle, Graham. But then Energumene just turned on the style. What do you think of the chinks in his armour these days?
Well, he doesn't really seem to have any, does he? Obviously, they've switched the tactics up, which I must admit, when they jumped off in the champion chase with him in last place, I thought, God, what are they doing here? You know, and yeah, not for the first time. Willie Mullins has been proved spot on, and Paul Townend with the change of tactics coming from the rear really seeming to suit him. I think he was entitled to win that race against Chacon. I mean, Chacon's a very, very smart horse, but yeah, let's not forget he's 9-10, isn't he? He's been around for a while now. He's had his problems, and I mean, Energumene was mixing it with Shishkin when Shishkin was very much at his best, and then obviously thrashed them in the Champion Chase. That's going to be the race we all want to see again, isn't it, next year? Energumene and Shishkin on the rematch. Obviously, we didn't see Shishkin anywhere near his best in the Champion Chase when Energumene won. And let's hope that it happens again and we get the rematch and they both turn up on top form. We get another thriller like we did at Ascot.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement there. How do you bet, Leon? Because Shishkin, he did have a legitimate excuse, sort of a rare bone condition after Cheltenham. That was interesting, wasn't it? So again, we're hoping that one of these key players comes back. What does the market say?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think Graham is spot on there. I think everybody wants to see a repeat of what happened at Ascot, because that was just one of the races of the season. And probably, you know, the two heavyweights going toe-to-toe. Look, I'm just trying to get the latest prices we have now, Maddie, and here we are. Energumene 2-1. Shishkin is a 9-2 chance. Fernie Hollow is in there at 8-1. Gentleman de Me, of course, and Edward Stone. Gentleman de Me beat Edward Stone at Aintree. Edward Stone was phenomenal at Cheltenham. They're both 12-1 chances. So there is a little bit of strength and depth to the Champion Chase. But I think Energumene deserves to be favoured, because he hasn't had a blip where Shishkin has. And the one thing that really impressed me about Energumene, yeah, you can say Shaquin is a 10-year-old, he should beat him, but it was on pretty lively ground on the Tuesday, and it didn't seem to inconvenience him whatsoever. So I think he doesn't need soft ground, which a lot of people thought initially. I think this horse is just an absolute monster, and Shishkin is going to have to put in one hell of a performance. Now tactics have been changed. I think Energumene is a danger to everything. Whoever finishes in front of him, Maddie, for me, will win the Champion Chase.
Yeah, he's an absolute superstar, isn't he? And of course, no mean feat to follow up at Punchestown after winning at Cheltenham. Another horse to do that was the Nice Guy in the 3-mile Grade 1 novice hurdle. This horse has been a real surprise package this season, G-Rod. And even his connections, you know, didn't really seem to think much of him early on, but he keeps pulling it out on the race course. Is that what you like to see from a horse?
Oh yeah, absolutely. He's not very flashy, is he? But he gets the job done. He's obviously won 5 from 5 now. Again, he just basically confirmed the form from Cheltenham, didn't he? When he beat Manila Kakuna, he beat Manila Kakuna at Punchestown. We gave him the same RPR, 156, as we did at Cheltenham. So we just had them basically running the same race that they did at Cheltenham. And I don't know, what's the plan with him, Maddie? Do you know, is he going chasing? Are they going to stay over hurdles? You never quite know with Willie Mullins, do you? I mean, well, we all thought that he probably was going to go over fences, wasn't he? Appreciate it last year. But he obviously ended up staying over hurdles after having a setback. I wonder what they're going to do with the Nice Guy.
I think he's going to go over chasing. Malcolm Denmark, he always seems to want good chasers. And I think that'll be the plan for him. So maybe the Brown Advisory would be the race for him. A lot of horses go on to run well in those Albert Bartletts and races like that, and then go close in that race. You know, Manella Indo, for instance. I know he didn't win it, but he certainly looked like he was going to for a long time. What did you think of the nice guy, Leon?
Yeah, like, I think he just gets the job done. He's very uncomplicated. I thought, in fairness, I thought Paul Townend was really, really confident about him in terms of how he rode the race. I mean, he was a 15-8 favourite compared to being an 18-1 chance when he won at Cheltenham under Sean O'Keefe. So, look, he's just a horse that saves his best for the track, and that's what you want, because all the reports are he shows absolutely nothing at home. You wouldn't be able to get a good line through him in terms of his homework when he's in Close Sutton. But when he comes to any track, he just delivers. And that's got to be very exciting, because he knows obviously what it takes when he's coming to a race course. And he's going to be exciting over fences. I think that's where they're going to go. I don't think he'll be staying over hurdles next season.
Okay, let's move on to what was one of the races of the week, the Ladbrokes Punchestown Gold Cup. We had a dual Gold Cup winner in here, an Album Photo. We had the old boys, Ken Boy, in here. Faki Duderi was stepping up in trip. Tornado Fly, the King George winner at Clander's Oboe, who'd won at Aintree. But it was the dual Ryanair winner, Alaho, who won again on his return to 3 miles. This was just a mind-blowing experience, really. And almost, this horse just treats every race the same, regardless of the distance, a 10-year-old. So this is a changing of the guard, Graham. But do you think he's got the staying power to be a contender in the Gold Cup next year? Because that's a different challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, I definitely do think that he could win a Gold Cup. It will take a very good horse to beat him, won't it? You know, he'll go around there, wing round there like he always does. And you can definitely see him turning for home with a lot of horses behind him off the bridle. For me, I'd be more than happy to take the chance that he would get up the hill. He's £3 below a Plutarde on RPRs. I think that was a great performance by a Plutarde in the Gold Cup. And obviously, you'd have to think about other horses who would take him on for the lead in a Gold Cup as well. But I reckon he would have a lot of horses in trouble from a long way out in the Gold Cup. If anything can stay with him, they might outstay him. But I'd be surprised if they could. A lot of people have been saying that he's a King George horse. Now, you can see him around Kempton, but to my eye, he's definitely better going left-handed. I know that he obviously won that race on a right-handed track at Punchestown, but he does go out to his left a little bit, his fences, and a sharp 3 miles around Kempton where you have to jump quick and accurate. If he keeps going left, I wonder if that could be an issue. I wouldn't be as keen on him for the King George as I would be for the Gold Cup. For me, I could see him really going close in a Gold Cup. For the King George, I just wonder if that might not be his race. For everyone thinks that it is. I don't see it that way.
Okay. He is a bold jumper, isn't he? As you say, jumped left-handed at Punchestown. For me, I've got to say, I disagree. I could look very silly here, and obviously, as you've mentioned, they have Aplutard, the reigning Gold Cup champion, so it'd be interesting to see how they split these two horses up, but I think that would be a hell of an ask to win a Gold Cup in this sort of vein. I think he's so quick early on and so bold, to sustain that up the hill, for me, is still a question mark for him, but he's an exceptional horse. Who do you agree with, Leon?
I don't know whether he's going to win a Gold Cup, if I'm being honest. I know a lot of people said it was one of the quickest Gold Cups of Punchestown that they rode in, but Sizing John, when he won the Gold Cup after winning the Cheltenham Gold Cup, was 5 seconds quicker. So I just wonder, was he getting towards the end of his stamina when he won that race at Punchestown? It was a breathtaking performance. I take nothing away from the horse. He's an absolute beast, the size and scope that he has. But I just wonder, over 3 miles, 2.5 furlongs, could he sustain that? And I'd have my question marks. And I think from a betting perspective, he's 7-4 favourite with Boyle Sports to win the Ryanair next year, whereas he's an 8-1 chance to win a Gold Cup. So we feel the Ryanair is probably the most likely destination once again for Alaho. I think when you look at the ones ahead of him in the betting, You've got Gallup and Deschamps is our 7-2 favourite for the Gold Cup. The reigning champion, a Plutard, is 4-1. And then you've got a couple of the novices to take into consideration. The likes of a Hoist in Yor is 8s. Lompressi is 12s. I just don't know whether Alaho could sustain that relentless. And it is relentless because he does get so many horses out of their comfort zone. But the Gold Cup at Cheltenham compared to the Gold Cup at Punchestown, it's an entirely different proposition altogether.
From a stamina test to a speed test, the Grade 1 champion Punchestown Bumper was again won by a Cheltenham winner in Facile Vega. It didn't always look like it was going to go to plan, though, as Stablemate Redemption Day came there swinging on the bridle. But Facile Vega just kept finding to pull out more. And I feel that stamina that he's got, that bravery, is going to serve him really well when he goes novice hurdling. Is he just the supreme winner already, dare I say it, G-Rod?
I don't know about that, Maddie. I thought that he's obviously very good, isn't he? But Redemption Day definitely travelled like the winner through the race. And just got outstayed, didn't he, by Facile Vega in the closing stages. I think Patrick Mullins thought he was beat most of the way. Was it Jody Townend breezed alongside him on Redemption Day? It was great to see Redemption Day come back to form, because obviously it was horrible ground that day at Cheltenham, one of the worst days I've ever been racing that Wednesday, and it was the last race on the car and it was really churned up, and yeah, it was never really going to be a problem for Facile Vega, given Vega absolutely loved testing ground, and that's his dam. But Redemption Day was obviously found out by it. It looked previously very good when winning at Leopardstown. They're both very excited, aren't they? Look, going forward, that's for sure. I just wonder if Facile Vega is going to end up in the longer race, the Ballymore next year. I know that Willie Mullins obviously got a few others for that. Maybe Gaelic Warrior might go for that. But I thought he looked a bit more like a stayer, and obviously Kavega stayed well, didn't she? She stayed 3 miles. I mean, he's almost certainly going to be a staying chaser of the future, isn't he, Facile Vega?
Can't wait to see him, that's for sure. Let's move on, and it's going to be another pair of familiar names, Willie Mullins and Paul Townend, again victorious with Classical Dream, who bounced back from a slight disappointment in the stayers hurdle to win another stayers hurdle. Leon, he's a horse who's very in and out. What do you think are the conditions that serve him best? How do we pinpoint the sort of best scenario for him?
Well, look, Maddie, I mean, when he won the Supreme Novices Hurdle, he was very good from the front. 12 months ago at Punchestown, it was a brilliant training performance. I think that's the only way to describe that, when he won the stayers hurdle. And then he went and did it again last Thursday, wasn't it? So, I mean, it was a good victory. I would look at the kind of horses in behind him, however, only a length and a quarter back to Ashdale Bob. Another probably 2.5 lengths to Gentleman's Game. With all due respect to both of those horses, I don't see them getting really involved in a stayers hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival next season. But Classical Dream, he's a great horse if you own him, because he's been a good money spinner. When he won at Leopardstown, I think we all kind of agree that it should have been a false start. He nicked so many lengths in front of Flooring Porter, and Flooring Porter was quite able to reverse that form at Cheltenham. Classical Dream, did travel quite well in the stayers at Cheltenham, but he just probably didn't get home as well as he could have done. So, look, I think he's got to stay at this division. Don't see him changing. But two wins at Punchestown, two grade ones, fair play to him. And he did it, but I just question of what's in behind him, really.
That's another question I guess you could ask about the Paddy Power Champion Hurdle. It was won, of course, by the 1-5 favourite Honeysuckle. The exceptional mare marches on. Interestingly, G-Rod, her last three performances have all got her RPRs of 159. Is she regressing, or do you think that the quality of opposition is just not there?
Yeah, it's hard to say, because she's never been beaten. So you don't know what's left in the tank. You know what I mean? Like, when you've got a horse that, like Honeysuckle, just keeps on winning, and you're rating her as they would be, as Steve Mason would be on RPRs, or Matt Gardner, whoever it is who does it now, it's a tough one to rate, because you've kind of got to rate her through what she beats, and she's not beating much. You've also got to include the £7 allowance that she's getting, of course, every time she runs. So she's always going to really struggle to, I mean, when you look at the top hurdlers, they were in the 170s, you know, so 159, she'd be quite a long way off of them on RPRs, but that's because of the £7 allowance. I wouldn't like to say she is regressing, because if something were to really throw down a challenge to her, Constitution Hill, for example, there might well be more in the locker. She only seems to be doing what she needs to do. And that is what horses tend to do that are this good as they get older. They become a bit wise, don't they? And, you know, if they don't need to go and exert themselves, then they're only doing just do enough. And you do get the feeling with Honeysuckle that she is only doing just enough. I mean, if she keeps racing, she will get beaten at some point along the way. You know, it's just the probability and odds mean that somewhere along the line, something's going to go wrong for her, and something will beat her. But no doubt, you know, she's an outstanding mare, the best mare we've seen in a long time, possibly of all time. But she is just that, the best mare we have seen in a long time, the best mare we have seen in a long time. I don't think she's up with the absolute great. I don't think she's Zisterbrack kind of class.
Okay, 16 out of 16 is nevertheless an incredible tally, Leon. And perhaps you'll be better positioned to sort of give us a feel for what she means to the Irish racing public, because I don't think I've seen a horse respond to her and, in fairness, Rachel Blackmore, the partnership they've built, ever since I've been in racing.
Maddie, I was lucky enough to be there on Friday. It was an emotional day for a lot of reasons. Robbie Power was having his last ever ride in that particular race on Tihapu. But when Rachel came in to the winner's enclosure, I mean, the applause, the reception, what it means. I mean, they had a record-breaking crowd there on the Friday as well. And it's really only two reasons, why that happened. It's because Honeysuckle and Rachel Blackmore were on show. Over 40,000 people turned up at Punchestown on Friday. They were very lucky with the weather. It was a beautiful day compared to the weather on Saturday. But they just mean so much. And I think sometimes when there is a little bit of a kind of a, sometimes when you see a horse keep on winning and winning and winning, some of us who are in the industry, we might take them a little bit for granted, and we might almost think, oh yeah, well, still beating the same runners, not beating any superstars. But she just keeps getting the job done. And it's a remarkable training performance too by Henry de Bromhead to keep a mare as sweet as he does season after season. I don't think he gets enough credit for how he's handled Honeysuckle. It's just been a dream. And they're a dream team. I mean, they're the two queens of National Hunt Racing, in fairness, Rachel and Honeysuckle. They are phenomenal. But if you look ahead to next year, it's amazing to see them a second favourite for the champion hurdle. She's 3-1. Constitution Hill is 7-4. I'm of the opinion if Stateman stays hurdling, I really think this horse could be absolutely anything. I know we're going to speak about him in a short while, but Honeysuckle for now, she just has the whole Irish racing in her heart. There's no doubt about it. That reception, the applause, and people stayed around the parade ring for a long time to just get pictures. There was a lot of people who were lucky enough to kind of give her a pat on the head and things like that. And racing needs superstars, and it needs big names to put our sport, not just towards the back pages, sometimes to get it even on the front pages. And that's what Honeysuckle does. She's an absolute dream of a horse, and fair play to all connections. I think we'll get to see her for at least one more season.
The great thing with her as well, Leon, is that you know, she runs, don't she? You know, she's not one of these horses who's wrapped up in cotton wool. You know, she turns up. She turns up for all the big gigs. She always turns up. She always shows her best. You know, like you say, as far as an advert for racing really needs its superstars. And the way that she just turns up all the time, always at her best, it's brilliant for racing. It really is.
It is, Graham. And I think what you said kind of in terms of her just doing what she has to, I think she's a very intelligent racehorse too. In terms of, she knows when she's winning. And she knows what she has to do. And listen, we all want to see the young guys, the likes of the Constitution Hills, the Vaubans, the Statemans, if one of them was to really put it up to her, then we'd love to see how much is really left in the tank with Honeysuckle. But I'm still of the belief that I think they're going to find it very hard. I don't really agree with the £7 allowance, but however, these are the rules. And I think just by nature of her getting that £7, it is going to take one hell of a performance from a horse to try and lower her colours.
And we're now, it is magical, as you both said, and we're now talking about a horse who's going to try and win a third champion hurdle. Exceptional. One of the horses who could be taking her on, though, who Leon's very keen on, is his State Man, who won the 2.5 furlong champion novice hurdle, beating Flame Bearer and the Aintree winner Three Stripe Life. Of course, he won the county hurdle in Handicap Company at Cheltenham. He's clearly much better than that, the proverbial grade one horse in a handicap. Why is it that you think this horse has what it takes to beat Honeysuckle Leon?
I just think, Maddie, he took a terrible fall. And I know he was really, really banged up when he fell at Leopardstown on the 26th of December. It was the first day of the Christmas meeting. And it was a horrible fall. Then he went out and he got his confidence back at Limerick, which wasn't much of a performance. He didn't need to. But the manner of how he actually won at Cheltenham, the way Paul Townend rode him, he rode him wide. He rode him like the best horse in the race. Defeat was never really, I don't think, in their mind. And I remember, I think it was Patrick Mullins was talking about State Man, saying that they always felt he was a grade one horse. They always knew the talent that he had. So for him to be able to suffer that horrific fall at Leopardstown, come back, win at Limerick, then go to Cheltenham and make a really solid field. I know it was a handicap, but made them look very ordinary. And then to go and win by 7 lengths in a grade one, absolutely doing handstands. I think this horse has just got a serious engine. There was one moment in the race, I think it might have been 3 out or maybe 4 out, when he made a little bit of a mistake. And you could see Paul just giving him a little bit of a squeeze just to get him right back on it. And he came immediately back on the bridle. It was just instant. And I just think this horse could be a little bit special. Is he good enough to go and beat Honeysuckle? As I said earlier, it's going to be very, very hard indeed. And I hope, he's only a 5-year-old like Constitution Hill, so they've got an awful long time to keep getting better. But he just excites me, Maddie. I just think this horse, he could be a little bit special.
Remind us what price he is.
I think he's around about, give us a second now, Maddie. State Man, he's an 8-to-1 chance for the champion hurdle. I don't even know if he's going to stay hurdling, but I think if he did, I think he could be a real, real player. And Willie Mullins, look, he obviously had to keep appreciated in the champion this year because, as Graham said earlier, he had that mishap. He was going to go novice chasing. Vauban is another interesting contender, of course, winner of the Triumph and won at Cheltenham as well. But I just think out of all the Willie Mullins horses, State Man for me is the one that could be very exciting if they keep him over hurdles.
Let's talk about Vauban now. Another horse to do the Cheltenham Punchertown double, and it was really effortless for him. G-Rod, spoken about State Man, now let's talk about Vauban. Who do you think, if they both went the direction of the champion hurdle next year, would come out on top? Because it's hard to assess the juvenile, isn't it? He's just in a class of his own.
Yeah, he's very fast, isn't he? He's a fast horse, Vauban. He's got a good turn of foot. He travels well. I'm not sure he's a champion hurdle horse. I think State Man is a champion hurdle horse. When he won at the county hurdle, they went champion hurdle kind of pace in that race. They really went a strong pace that day. The time was very, very good. Some horses in behind disappointed next time. I actually think that the reason they disappointed was not because the form was any knock on the form. I think that maybe they had a hard race trying to compete with State Man that day. And Felix Deji, who was 10th or 11th in the county behind State Man, did come out and win last week at Punchestown in competitive handicap hurdle. Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of State Man too. I think that he will stay over hurdles, and I think he will be William Mullins' champion hurdle horse next year, because I think that Vauban, well, has he spoken about possibly going on the flat, hasn't he? So I could see that because Vauban's got a lot of speed. I like State Man for the Champion Hurdle as well. I think he's a really exciting horse going forward. Vauban's obviously top class, but he's got that. He's 4 year old going on five. 5 year olds don't have a great record. I just wonder if they might consider taking it easy with him, going on the flat for a year or so, giving him a bit of time to develop, and then, yeah, either going for a Champion Hurdle in a couple of years, or maybe even going over fences. Who knows?
Indeed, who knows? I thought one of the most interesting things about State Man at Cheltenham was I've never seen a horse look so exhausted after a race. You know, Paul Townend had to jump off him fairly quickly, and I thought he looked very, very tired after the County Hurdle. I'm not sure if that had something to do with his preparation. So I almost expected maybe for him to be a bit rusty at Punchestown, but not at all. He clearly bounced back from it and just shows how much more improvement there is under the bonnet. So State Man, clearly, all of us on the postcast today, very, very enamoured by him. But from the jumps to the flat, it was an extraordinary weekend for James Doyle. He rode a famous Guineas double. We'll get stuck into those performances in just a moment.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to The Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Punchestown is over, and we're going to go to Newmarket now and talk about the classics on the Rowley Mile. There was a red-hot favourite for the Kipco 2000 Guineas in the shape of Native Trail. He was sent off the 5-4 market leader, but he was beaten by his stablemate Caribus, another Godolphin-owned colt. Interesting this morning that there's been some talk of possible draw track biases. What did you make of that, Graham?
I didn't think there was any. Personally, I know the Native Trail came sort of more towards the stand side, didn't he? And Caribus maybe more towards the far side. But I thought that Native Trail needed to get one clean run at him. And I thought he got one clean run at him, and he wasn't good enough to beat Caribus. And he beat the rest quite comfortably. I mean, it's quite boring to say it. Every year the Guineas is a good race. This year it looks a good race as per normal. I think it's very strong form. The winner and the second, possibly ushering in a new era, of course, because Charlie Appleby, Dubawi, a son of Dubawi, of course, Caribus, really setting down a marker for the season there. The first two, Luxembourg, well held back in third. I think this is going to be one of the themes of the season, isn't it? Can Charlie Appleby break the dominance of the Aidan O'Brien and the Ballydoyle camp? I mean, last season it was his first championship. I still don't think people appreciate just how good a trainer Charlie Appleby is. I mean, he's absolutely right up there, top draw, isn't he? So everything he runs at the Newmarket Rolling Mile seems to win. And I think that the first two will go on and be, you know, the best 2 milers in Britain and Ireland and possibly Europe all season.
Yeah. What about the third? Because he was cut for the Derby, 5-2 now.
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent trial for the Derby. I mean, he ran exactly how I thought he was going to be honest. He was outpaced and then stayed on well, and I thought he did an awful lot wrong. He obviously stumbled coming out the stalls, didn't he? And I don't think the horse is a miler. I thought that when I saw him at Doncaster last year. I thought he just looked like a sort of staying type. And I mean, I was actually tempted by 5-2. I thought it was a good price because when I'm betting horses anti-post, I'm always thinking, well, what price is this horse going to be on the day? You know, I look at horses that he's run in the Guineas before and have run well in the Guineas. They usually go off sub 2-1 on the day. I mean, I could easily see Luxembourg going off, what, 5-4, 6-4 for the Derby on the day if he gets there in one piece and dependent on what happens in the trials, of course. But the one thing you would have to say is that in previous years, when Aidan O'Brien's had this sort of horse go for the Derby, you know, there hasn't always been loads of opposition to them. This year, as we've already said, Charlie Appleby is going to have son of Dubawi, son of Dubawi, son of Dubawi coming out of these trials, and they could be anything. There's one running in Chester Vars this week called New London. He's got one called Walker Stars. You know, if one of those goes and wins well, then Luxembourg will not be as short as 5-2 or even 5-4. So it's a fascinating Derby picture as always. We won't really know until all the trials are done. But I thought it was an excellent trial for the Derby, definitely.
Okay, Leon, we've got to, I mean, I could spend a good 10 minutes arguing with G-Rod on why I think 5-2 is a terrible price, but I won't. A word on James Doyle, please, because this was the first of two mega races, obviously, that he scooped. And I thought, for me, something that made this year's Guinea so special was the emotion that he spoke of afterwards and the challenges that he's faced. I know we like to focus on the horses on this show, but I often think the human interest has a lot to offer in terms of attracting people to our sport and endearing sports people to us.
Yeah, look, I couldn't agree more, Maddie. I think sometimes our jockeys, we don't get to see that side of them. But in fairness to James, it obviously meant the world to him. And why wouldn't it? I mean, to win your first Guineas on Saturday and then to go and get the second one on Sunday, these are what dreams are made of. And he's a very, very likable person, a really fine rider. He gets horses to run for him. And I think that's a key about James Doyle. You tend not to see him put a horse in the wrong position many times in a race. I think he's quite tactically astute. I'm not so sure about all this draw bias as well. I thought Coroebus, for all the things that they said about Native Trail being on the wrong side, for Luxembourg maybe stumbling out of the stalls, I thought Coroebus was the deserved winner. And Cachet on Sunday, doing everything from the front, she's done it the hard way, just to get home over the mile. But what a brilliant weekend for him. And to hear him, you know, to hear people talk about him, Charlie Appleby said as well, he's such an integral part of his team. And, it's not easy always kind of being that number two in terms of when you see William obviously has first choice. But you know, you keep your head down, you keep working hard, that chances will become available. And as Graham has alluded to, Charlie Appleby is doing an unbelievable job. And it used to be always when you were, if you were riding for Aidan O'Brien, you wouldn't mind being on a second or third string. I think that now applies to Charlie Appleby because he's got the stock and he's well able to train and he's well able to win Group 1s. And it's going to be fascinating. I do feel Native Trail and Coroebus are going to be the best milers, like Graham. You'd have to say with Luxembourg, we're only 2-1 to win the Derby, Maddie, because as a trial, you couldn't have asked for much more. Yes, we will see an awful lot of trials in the coming weeks, whether it be Chester, whether it be York, whether it be back at Leopardstown or Lingfield, New London. I know a lot of people will be keen to see him on Wednesday, but you'd have to say Luxembourg, that's a really, really solid first run. Similar could be applied to Tuesday. I thought who finished third in the 1,000 under Frankie. She was up at the pace for quite some time, drifted over towards the rail. She finished third. I think her pedigree suggests the step up and trip for the Oaks will suit her as well. So I think Aidan, for his two kind of main Derby and Oaks contenders at the moment, I think they'll be quite satisfied down in County Tipperary that they've both ran really, really solid races. But hats off to James Doyle. Brilliant for him. Great to see that emotion. And I think when you see that type of emotion from these jockeys, it does endear the public to them and to the sport more. And I, for one, would like to see a bit more from jockeys actually talking with that sincere emotion, because that's what does bring people to the sport.
Hear, hear. Totally agree. We've spoken about a lot of the key players in the two classics. What about those from in behind? Do we have our eye on anything for future targets? I thought Lucille ran an eye-catching race in the 2000. In the 1000, of course, the main horse to talk about is the one who didn't turn up in Spiral. She, of course, beating Cachet and Prosperous Voyage in the Fillies Miles. So all eyes on the Coronation Stakes to see her next. But who are the horses you want to mention, G-Rod?
Yeah, I mean, I think a few people picked out Iden, even though, you know, he obviously ran a very good race for a horse who would have found that trip well on the short side. In the Palace House, I thought there were some eye-catching runs for sure behind Cardam, particularly Tis Marvellous with a review to the King Stand. Because I thought he improved rapidly at the end of last season, and he has a superb record at Ascot, which is marvellous. And in the Palace House, he travelled through the race like an express train, and he just did not get home. I don't think that he was anywhere near fully fit that day. I think that that was almost certainly a prep run for the King's Stand. And he was beaten four lengths in the end. He drifted from 9-2 overnight to 10-1. So the market seemed to know that he was going to be in need of the run. His record at Ascot would make me think that Clive Cox would have had that King's Stand race in his mind since the start of the season. And I know he's 8 years old and he's not won a Group One yet, but he looked very, very good at the end of the last season when winning three of his last four starts, two of which came at Ascot. I bet he's a massive price for that King Stand, and I'll be backing him on the back of that Palace House sixth, that's for sure.
I like the sound of that very much indeed. I'm also excited about the Chester May meeting, which we've already mentioned coming up this week. We're hopefully going to see some more classic clues in the Cheshire Oaks, Cheshire Vase, and then there's the big two-mile charge around the Rudy coming up on Friday with Chester Cup. That's our next port of call.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
So declarations are out for the first day of the Chester May meeting. We're going to go to the 240, which is the Wetherby's Bloodstock Pro Cheshire Oaks. This is a listed race and it was won in 2017 by Enable, who, of course, went on to do much more than win the Classic at Epsom. I don't know if you have any betting you want to run us through. And let's see how Boyle Sports bet.
Yeah, look, I think above the curve is probably going to start favourite here, Matty, in and around the 7-4, like 15-8 mark. I was very impressed with her performance at Leopardstown. She's by American Pharaoh, and her dam is a daughter of Galileo called Fabulous, but it was an effortless victory under Shane Cross. She was 6-5 favourite on that occasion. She beat Thoughts of June, who's trained by Joseph's father, Aidan. But it was a very, very taking performance from my eyes. She's around about the 12-1 chance for the Epsom Oaks. I think she'll win. And I think she could be a big, big player come the first weekend in June. I think they've handled her with extreme kid gloves as a two-year-old. She only had the one race, which was middle of October last year. So she's taken a little bit of time to kind of come to herself. She finished third on that occasion. She won that mile and a quarter race on the 6th of April. It was only a maiden, but interesting that Joseph is sending her straight now to Chester. And Aidan has used Chester an awful lot over the past number of years ahead of Epsom. So certainly Joseph is following in his dad's footsteps. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing this above the curb. I think she could be quite special.
She certainly looks so far for the Coolmore team. She's drawn seven. I think interesting as well, G-Rob, we're talking about betting at Chester, of course, so that is key. She's going to have to overcome that outside draw. And also, it might rain. It can get quite soft at Chester as well. I think they're forecast for plenty of rain on Tuesday and Wednesday. So what sort of view do you look at with the Cheshire Oaks?
Yeah, I mean, I love Chester, Maddie. You know, particularly this meeting, it's great, isn't it? And I think a lot of people make, I don't like betting at Chester. It's, you know, too messy and the draw and all that. But I do think it's like most other races. You know, the best horse does usually win. You know, there are obviously the odd hard luck story and horses that get caught in behind. It does get a bit messy sometimes, but I reckon that, you know, the best horse still wins 80-odd% of races there, maybe more. So I just think a lot is made of Chester being a funny track when essentially you're still trying to find the horse with the most ability, really. I wouldn't be too worried about the draw in this sort of race, especially if the rain comes. Obviously, they'll come down the middle if it rains. I would probably like the Haggis horse, Hello Jumeirah. just on pedigree, seems to have the sort of pedigree would really excel at this sort of trip, obviously by Golden Horn, and the Dam stayed a mile and six furlongs, so definitely going to be well suited by a mile and 3 hour furlongs around Chester. It's a great time of year, is it? With a lot of unknowns. I mean, any of these could throw their hat into the Oaks ring, couldn't they? Above the Curve, of course. Night Battles just 1 month. Hello Jamira, 1 month. Thoughts of June from the Last Crop of Galileo, of course, for Aidan O'Brien. So, yeah, exciting times, going forward, Maddie.
Indeed, let's move on to the 3.10, which is also going to be key. We mentioned New London earlier. He's the short price favourite for the Boodles Chester Vase Stakes. Maybe a slightly disappointing turnout in opposition. The top rated horse, Dillion's rated 105. Aidan O'Brien's got Changing of the Guard in there. Berkshire Rebel and Savvy Victory, the other two players. Do you expect this will be a straightforward assignment for the favourite, Leon?
It looks to be, Maddie, in fairness. I think this is an ideal opportunity for him to be tested on a completely different track than when he won at Newmarket last time out, to see how he handles and the turns at Chester. But it's a small field, so it shouldn't pose any problems really whatsoever. I mean, he's going to be short enough. He's going to be... I mean, I think he could start something like Bottle On, Platoon 1 on. I think he'll be very, very short on the day. Changing of the Guard is the representative from Aidan O'Brien. Look, Maddie, he didn't win on three starts as a two-year-old, and then he came out and won at Dundalk. But I think the step up and trip brought about some huge improvement from him when winning at Dundalk over a mile, 2.5 furlongs. He's again in that last crop of Galileo. So interesting to see how he progresses through the season. I think he'll give the favourite probably most to think about. But if New London is going to become or has any aspirations of winning a Derby at Epsom, he's surely got to win this particular race. This looks an ideal opportunity to get another victory in, to build more confidence, and then all roads will lead to Epsom.
Okay, the big race of the Chester May meeting comes on Friday at 3:15. It's the Tote Plus Chester Cup Handicap. Last year's winner heads the weights Falcon 8, a quirky horse also by Galileo, but clearly very, very talented. You've got the likes of the Grand Vizier, Rajinsky, Aidan O'Brien's got several in there. Cleveland, perhaps the main one for him. And Metier as well, horses like him that we've been seeing over jumps who could run here. It's a race that jumps horses have done well in recent years. Remember, Nicky Henderson won it a couple of years ago with No Heretic. But no betting from Boy Sports just yet, Leon. But this is a real punter-friendly race, isn't it? The draw not yet out, that's going to be key.
Yeah, look, I think the draw here does come into consideration without a shadow of a doubt. You do not want to be out wide. Position early is key. I think it's absolutely crucial in the Chester Cup. I remember Falcon 8 winning it 12 months ago. I think it was Dermot Wells said maybe that he might have just needed a run, but it certainly didn't look like it on that occasion. It was good to soft ground. I think the ground was more of a kind of a worry on that particular occasion, but Frankie, he was very, very good on it. He beat the Grand Visor by a couple of lengths on that occasion. Looking at the race, we don't know, Maddie, what the draw is going to be. We don't know what the final field is going to be. But I thought Rishun for Ian Williams, I think he's number four on the list at the moment. I think he could run a race. He was fourth at Wolverhampton. Over 2 miles and a half of furlong. It was a cracking run. He was only beaten a little over a length. I think he could come in for a man who loves having winners at Chester, of course, Dr. Marwan Kukash. And another horse I thought that if he was to line up in this race, Cleveland would have a big, big chance for Aidan O'Brien. I know his racing post rating, I think, is 116. It'd be a massive step up and trip, but it'd be very interesting to see if Cleveland did line up here in the Chester Cup.
The one I've got my eye on is an eight-year-old Arcadian Sunrise for John Queeley. The style in which this horse won at York last season made me think he was so well handicapped, and I still think there's potential off a mark of 97. But of course, we must wait for the draw. Graham, what do you look for in a Chester Cup horse? Because a favourite hasn't won the race in an awfully long time, including in the last 10 years.
No, yes, it's a difficult race, isn't it, Maddie? You know, horses, they can get in trouble here. Obviously, big field round Chester. And yeah, it's funny, isn't it? They all sort of, they all get their positions, then they seem to sort of go round a couple of times, then sprint off the home bend. It can be a weird old race. I was with you. I thought Arcadian Sunrise for John Queeley was the interesting run. I mean, he won a big handicap at last year's York Ebor meeting doing handsprings, and he's £7 higher this time. He also won a Galway handicap hurdle last year, so he's won for all the big prizes, and Spencer's already been booked to ride him. I thought he looked a likely type, so he's a big old price, isn't he?
16-1 I think you can get. So me and Graham are going to be cheering on Arcadian Sunrise on Friday anyway. Before we leave you, let's get some best bets. It's time for the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Who are you going for, Leon?
Maddie, I'm going to stick with the Joseph O'Brien trained filly. I just think I was impressed with her an awful lot at Leopardstown. I know it was only a maiden, but it was only her second run. And I just think for Joseph to send one over to Chester after winning a maiden above the curve for me to win the Cheshire Oaks.
That's at 2:40 on Wednesday. Graham, over to you.
Yeah, I've been keeping an eye on one 3:40 at Chester on Thursday. It's called Enfranchise, trained by Charlie Mark Johnston. Looks like a real progressive Mark Johnston four-year-old, been in good form on the all-weather. Bounced back last time on turf at Brighton, finishing close second. We can just see this horse getting out in front around Chester and proving quite difficult to peg back. So that's Enfranchise in the 3:40 at Chester on Thursday.
Fantastic. Best of luck with your bets at Chester this week. As per usual, make sure to rate, review and subscribe. We've got good action this weekend. The Victoria Cup big handicap charge at Ascot and the Swinton Hurdle at Haydock. Bruce and the team will be back on Friday for more on those. We'll see you soon.